Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Plenty to get to with the Cavs, of course, with Chris Fedor, who's with us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I know Chris is very excited about how Tiger's playing right now. Maybe about to drop the 5-under here with this birdie putt after the rain delay, Chris.
Well, I'm happy and pissed all at the same time.
I agree.
So my guy is rolling, right?
And here comes the golf gods.
The
golf gods, Chris, damn it!
He's lined up for another one at 12. He's about to go to the gettable par 5, two of them in the next three holes, and weather interrupts his flow. Like, they're just trying to make everything so difficult on him. Go away, Mother Nature. Go away.
I mean, you guys sound like insane people right now.
It's weird how you said Mother Nature. I thought you were going to say Mother Bleeper. You said that. But no.
Golf gods and Mother Nature.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
He did get to line this putt up and kind of get an eye on it before he went back into the clubhouse. So let's hope that this allows him to calm down, nail this putt, and then, like you say, get an eagle on 13, right?
That would be nice.
Oh, it's an eagle? Oh, 13, on 13.
Yeah,
okay.
13.
Yeah.
Gotcha. 13 coming up, par 5. It's gettable. You can make eagle there. 15, par 5 coming up. Yep. You can make eagle there. So,
well, he bogeyed the last part, par 5.
It was harder. Yes. That was a harder, right. Harder par 5.
Well, we'll see. I know I shouldn't say we're all rooting for him. The three of us are rooting for him, but I can't speak for everybody else. Anyway, Chris, a lot of basketball stories coming up today. We see Luke Walton get fired. Obviously the Larry Drew news. It's not really news, but Ty Lue reportedly the favorite. David Griffin has a new job. And then let's start with some of those out-of-town stories first, because obviously they relate to LeBron and Ty Lue being the favorite, David Griffin getting a job. Your thoughts on those and Luke Walton getting fired?
Well, I think David Griffin was the perfect pick for New Orleans. And I know a lot of people had him as the favorite to go to Los Angeles. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me for him to go to L.A. beyond the fact that there's obviously the Griff-LeBron connection. The things that he was looking for, power, money, responsibility, control, those kinds of things aren't available in Los Angeles. And I think it's very, very telling that they don't have a president right now, and yet they have two quote-unquote front runners for the head coaching job. So that tells you how much power the president is actually going to have in that organization. And I think that might hinder their ability to get somebody that is well-respected around the NBA. But I think Griff is perfect for a rebuild. The first thing that he's going to have to decide is what he's going to do with Anthony Davis, try and maximize the value there, and he's going to try and build it similar to the way that he built up the Cavs. When it comes to Ty Lue being the front runner in Los Angeles, that's not surprising at all. If he gets the job, Larry Drew, I would put 95% chance that he joins Ty there in Los Angeles. I think that was something that he had his eye on even before he went into his meeting with the Cavs yesterday. I think he wanted to keep his options open. And I think it's only the start when it comes to movement in the offseason, and there might be some other openings coming down the road too.
We're talking with Chris Fedor on the hotline right now. Chris, we had Jason on with us earlier, and he mentioned yesterday and today that he thought that the Cavs might be interested in Luke Walton if he got fired. Do you believe the Cavs will be interested in Luke Walton?
I keep going back and forth on this. Number one, something that the Cavs said today I think is important, and I think it's kind of how they've tried to go about this rebuild. So much about it is, who are you? It's not what you are, it's who you are. The Cavs want to build this thing, and they might be wrong. They might turn out to be wrong in this, but they want to build this thing with high character worker guys. The guys that they target in the draft are going to fit that profile. The guys that they target in trades, they're going to fit that profile. It's a big reason why they drafted Colin Sexton 8th overall, because of who he was, the kind of work ethic that he has. He was the guy that they brought in for a workout the day after they lost in the NBA Finals. They get swept in the NBA Finals. They're all cranky. Colin comes there for a workout, and he lifts everybody in the organization. And they just had such a positive vibe being around him. And he changed how they were feeling that day after getting swept by the Warriors. And I think those things matter to the Cavs. And if they're going to go down, if Kobe Altman's going to go down and this group is going to go down, it's going to be with guys like that. They believe in the controllables. And Luke Walton, by all indication, great guy. Really good person. I just don't know if he can coach. I don't know that the Cavs know if he can coach. I talked to somebody around the NBA recently that called him a phony, that thinks he's a terrible head coach and all he does is really scream at the officials. He's got the backing of Steve Kerr. He's got the backing of other people around the NBA that have worked with him. But I think it's going to be hard for the Cavs to parse through just how good of a coach he is, because he had two different kinds of teams when he was in Los Angeles. I think he's going to be in the mix. I really do. I just don't know that he's going to be near the top of that list.
Who else is on that list for you, Chris?
Look, I don't think the Cavs have a favorite. I wrote about that earlier today. They're really just starting this. There are a handful of coaches that are represented by the same agent. And I talked to him last night, and as of last night, the Cavs hadn't even reached out to him to set up meetings. So they're in the very early stages of this thing. And these face-to-face interviews are going to be really, really important, because who the guy is going to matter a lot to them. But if I'm making a list and I'm in Vegas right now, I think the betting favorites, Alex Jensen from the Utah Jazz, he was with the Canton Charge. He has relationships with guys in the organization still. He would be near the top. I think Jordy Fernandez, the assistant coach for the Denver Nuggets, also somebody with the Canton Charge, has player development experience because he was the player development coach in Cleveland a while ago before he latched on to the Canton Charge. I think Jamal Mosley, another guy who has ties with the Cavs organization, Nate Tibbetts, head coaching experience from the G League, spent 2 years with the Cavs as an assistant. Nick Stauskas, I was talking about Nate Tibbetts to him because they were together in Portland for a little bit this year. Thinks he's ready, thinks he's a very good offensive-minded coach. So those are the guys that jump out to me. But the two things that they're going to be looking for that are going to drive this, can you develop players? Player development is going to be key. And are you interested in using analytics? Because the previous coaches that the Cavs had, we're not willing to use those, and the Cavs have invested heavily in analytics, so they have to be driven by that.
We're talking with Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Chris, speaking of analytics, let's get into some numbers here. You know, you tweeted earlier that the Cavs won the, what was it, picking up numbers out of a hat or whatever to be technically the number two seed going into the lottery versus the three. But in reality, Chris, like, people were asking me about this. It's really irrelevant, isn't it? Because it may, the odds don't change for the first, second, third, or fourth pick. It's just your worst-case scenario is six instead of seven. And does that really matter much?
I think it does.
Okay.
I think the floor does matter because I think right now I could tell you the six players.
Okay, so you think there's a line of demarkation after six?
Yeah, I absolutely think.
Okay, then it is important. All right, fair.
And look, some people will tell you that it's a four-player draft. Some people might tell you that it's a three-player draft. Just based on my conversations with people in this organization, I think there's a line of demarcation where today was a big win for them.
Okay. I didn't realize. I thought it was everybody seemed to be saying three or four. So if it is six, as you say, if the organization feels six, then this potentially is. Now, they still are unlikely to end up six. Anyway, they would have been unlikely to end up seven because what are the odds that the Knicks, Cavs and Suns all don't hit in the lottery? Probably not good.
Right. So based on percentages, the Cavs have the best shot, a 27.8% chance of getting the fifth pick. That is the highest percentage that they have.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Chris, based off of Kobe Altman's comments today, is there a type of player you think that the Cavs are looking for? Or no, they open to just the best player.
Look, I think in a perfect world, The Cavs go into this offseason with the plan of adding a rim protector and a shooter, like a catch-and-shoot type guy. But I just think they're still in a position with this rebuild where they're going to focus on the best player. I think fit is going to matter. Fit drives a lot of what this franchise does. Fit drove what they did with moving Ty Lue out and bringing Larry Drew in. Fit drove Ty Lue taking over for David Blatt. It's going to drive this coaching decision, and it's probably going to matter when it comes to this draft pick. But I just think where they are as an organization, they are very, very open to basically anybody. Now, if there's a tiebreaker, let's say they look at Ja Morant and R.J. Barrett very, very similar, so close that they consider it maybe a coin flip. Then I think fit would give the edge to R.J. Barrett because I think they would fit him next to Colin Sexton in a better way than Ja Morant next to Colin. But that's only if they see it similar.
Chris, I know this is a bit of a tricky question because we don't know where Kevin Durant's going to end up or Kemba Walker or Kyrie, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But if I told you that Zion if the Cavs get Zion,
oh,
and Kevin Love plays 60 games next year, I'm not even asking for 80, I'm asking for 60.
Yeah.
Can the Cavs win 39-40 and make the playoffs?
I don't think so. I think they can be close. The bottom of the East is so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. And some of these teams might even get worse based on what happens in free agency. So because of that, I think that's probably the best thing that they have on their side. Like with the Indians, I think one of the best things that they have on their side is that they get to play in the Central Division. One of the things that the Cavs have on their side is that they get to play in the Eastern Conference, not the Western Conference. So it opens up possibilities. But I think Atlanta's better than them, and they're probably going to be on the rise. I still think Brooklyn is going to be right there. So I wouldn't say absolutely not. I just don't think the Cavs have enough starting caliber players on the roster at this point. They still need to add more of those kinds of guys before I can look at them and say, yeah, that's a playoff team.
What do you think, just to go back to the Lakers for a moment, Chris, is it as bad as it seems on social media internally there with LeBron and now that, you know, with the Magic Johnson thing? I was, you know, off the last couple of days, and I know you've had some thoughts on this, but I mean, I just wonder, like, is this Cleveland all over again in Los Angeles?
Well, I mean, I think it's wherever LeBron goes, this kind of drama seems to follow, right?
Yeah.
But in other spots, winning took care of that. Winning masked it. And everybody will always say when you have LeBron on your side, it's always going to be worth it. But the reality is you deal with these kinds of things. It's just, are you winning enough where those things don't matter? And they didn't win this year. And because they didn't win this year, I think it exacerbates the problem. But they have money going into this offseason. They have LeBron James on their side going into this offseason. And I still think that they have young assets that would be appealing to other teams around the NBA. So it can be a lot better quick.
Chris, let me ask you something I said before. Tell me if you think I'm crazy. Okay? You ready?
Okay. Sure.
Here we go. I said earlier, and Kyrie was my favorite player when he was a Cavalier. But I said earlier that if I, you know, there's been a lot of talk of the Knicks trying to get Kyrie and Durant, right?
Okay.
I said if I were the Knicks, I would rather, in that scenario, have Kemba Walker than Kyrie Irving. And here's why. I know Kemba's a little older.
And, yeah.
All right? But there's no drama with Kemba Walker.
Sure.
There's no injuries with Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
And I know Kyrie is probably a little better, but is he that much better that it's worth the other things? Am I crazy or no?
Well, I think you're a little bit crazy.
A little crazy. I'm getting a little crazy.
Yeah, I think you're focused on the regular season. And when it comes to Kyrie and it comes to that kind of team, if they're trying to build that kind of team, all that really matters is the playoffs. I've seen Kyrie do it at the highest level. I've seen him be willing to take that kind of shot. I've seen him go into Oracle in Game 5 in a must-win game and then Game 7 and thrive in that kind of environment. So the stuff that you deal with Kyrie, the quote-unquote nonsense, it's during the regular season, and I just don't think it matters all that much.
But do we know?
I think Kyrie's one of the best players in the NBA when the playoffs hit.
But is that it's not an apples to apples. Now, you're right. He has been great when it's mattered, but he's played with LeBron. Kemba Walker has not.
Sure. And I understand that.
Yeah.
But I guess we're going to see a little bit more this year in Boston. I think that's part of why I was disappointed by what happened in the playoffs. Like, I felt robbed that I didn't get to see Kyrie in that kind of environment leading the way when he didn't have LeBron. We'll wait and see. But I think Boston is going to make a lot of noise in the postseason because Kyrie in the playoffs is just a different kind of dude. And I think when the game gets into the way that it is in the postseason, where it's about you just have to create something in a one-on-one situation, you have to take and make really, really tough shots. Like, that's his game. That's who he is. So I'm very excited to see what he can do with Boston this year. And because I've seen him in that kind of environment, maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I think that gives him a significant edge over a guy like Kemba.
All right. We'll see. I mean, yeah, you have that. It's not a fair criticism of Kemba. It's not his fault that he hasn't had the opportunity. But, it's a fair point.
I've been hearing from people that are close to Kyrie and know him really well for, I don't know, months now, to not discount Brooklyn when it comes to him. So,
well, who knows with him? He's such a weirdo. I mean, you don't know what he's going to do.
That's exactly right.
Right?
I mean, what he thinks today is probably not what he thinks tomorrow. That's just who he is.
Yeah. Hi, Chris.
Chris, turn your TV on, buddy. Tigers about to putt. They started playing again.
I know. I saw that. I'm waiting to go. You guys are letting me off at the perfect time.
Yep, good timing. We'll talk to you soon, pal.
All right, buddy. See ya.
All right. See ya.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.